evening, everyone. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom Evening Watch Program, September 16, 2021. Elizabeth Gubbard Carefully and I, Lou Carefully, are watching as the dark energy of Lucifer is escalating. We are here by the grace of God, according to Ezekiel chapter 33, to warn believers to pray and prepare. We are also here to witness to the unbelievers, the ones even taking part in the diabolical plans to kill and or alter the genes in God's created humanity. We can be heard on WWCR.com, Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, Global Star, and KStarTalkRadio.com. Check websites for days and times. We cannot lose a minute. Things are growing so dire. We have no commercials, and many of you are grateful to get more info that way. Thanks to a few listeners who helped us this week. May Jesus Christ bless each of you for your sacrificial giving in order to keep his people informed and protected, not perishing due to lack of knowledge. How important are your prayers? Steve Quayle recently said he was told that in order to prepare the buildup of satanic power to carry out 9/11 and the 3,000-plus American deaths, the prior blood of 144,000 sacrificed children was required.
Yes, Lou, and this is Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly, and we're coming to you on September 16th. These horrific child murder rituals are reported to be continuing among the global so-called elite even today. Tonight's Divided Kingdom program is called Truth Shocks Revealed. What's happening right now, and a little later, the riveting Shanksville Flight 93 secrets and more from my book, Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked. Visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. And under breaking news in parts 1, 2, and 3 of the 9/11 20-year chronicles, you'll see that. And then you'll see Lou Caverly's new essay. Be sure to tell others to check out our vital website and to go to our listening archives for the very crucial August-September programs. This is so important that as the masses of Americans and people worldwide are awakening to the plandemic conspiracy, it's so important that you do your part to spread the news of the sources. And now, the first, some of these short headlines under Truth Shocks Revealed. Reports that the Luciferian dark energy murder of 144,000 children to facilitate the 9/11 attacks on the heartland are a past echo of what we hear is allegedly still going on. Advisor to Bill Gates, Marina Abramovich, close associate to Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, and others participating, we hear, in spirit cooking. And a talk show host has recently claimed that these babies are being cooked alive during this so-called spirit cooking. And we have to comment that God Almighty will not let this abomination to his very being continue forever without exposing it and without destroying this horrendous activity. And another giant truth shock is the revelation by Christian talk show commentator Clay Clark as to the real nefarious endgame of the COVID-19 pandemic, looking at the name, the nomenclature, COVID-19. Clay Clark says COVID is an acronym for Certificate of Vaccination ID. The number 19, then, stands for AI. Let's take that again. Think about that. COVID, C-O-V-I-D, that stands for Certificate of Vaccination ID. The number 19, we use here the Hebrew numerology in which you see there is a number for each of the alphabetic letters. A is 1, B is 2, so forth. So this 19, if you look that up, A is 1. And 9 is for I. Why, lo and behold, we have artificial intelligence. Isn't this interesting? We hear all of these top globalists, Elon Musk, all the others, they want to merge mankind at some point, and then partly we would be uploaded onto the web, onto the internet. But we really do think this is a cover story for genocide, mass genocide. Now, what are we living in, Lou? We are living in what Robert Malone and Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Judy Mikovits, they call it a genocide, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Against humanity.
Exactly.
With these COVID shots. Can we see that putting abomination to God aborted fetal cell lines into these vaccines, and then we take them into our human bodies? We've heard another commentator talk about how that changes God's humanity to something not quite human under Satan's inhumanity. Yes, hence we're turning into AI, artificial intelligence.
And now we have some more headlines to begin from WorldNet Daily. Soaring through the roof, vaccine deaths skyrocket. Biden has literally breathed life into radical Islamic terrorist movement. Doctors form new alliance to combat censorship of
and I
well,
believe
I can't
that,
quite read that.
I think I wrote that quickly. I think that censorship of so-called vaccine misinformation. Of course, we call it the truth.
Yes, I think you're right.
And so anyway, I think these are doctors now who are going to really try to get the truth out. Is that not true?
That's true. I think one of the mentioned here in the headline was Dr. Robert Malone.
Yes, and in fact, he's the one who invented the mRNA and opposes it being given.
Yes, that's just right. And now from the Gateway Pundit, Aussies from Australia are now ignoring tyrannical public health mandates, heading to beautiful Bondi Beach near Sydney. This is the in New South Wales. It looks like the public health order in East Sydney appears to be to have completely collapsed. And also from Gateway Pundit, American hero Mike Glover, quote, thousands of Americans are still stranded inside Afghanistan. Biden administration is AWOL. And from, let me see now, Epic Times.
And what does that mean? Biden administration is able to what?
Is absent without leave. It means that they're not doing their duty. They're just shirking, and as if they were just walking away from whatever duties they may have. And from the Epic Times, England says COVID-19 vaccine passports could be implemented after health minister stated otherwise.
So again, it's shaky, isn't it?
It certainly is.
It's one hand says something and the other hand
contradicts
the other.
It.
Now, a lot of, what can we say, peer pressure, humanity rising against this kind of terrible vaccine passport tyranny, this is going to make the difference. So all of you out there, your prayers do make the difference. If we sound a little bit unnerved today, we are. We spent the whole morning with a plumbing problem, and it was something that just kept unnerving us, and we kept trying to reach people. Some of them were on vacation, out of town, and we kept working with the plunger. And we thought there was trouble much farther down than just in the bathroom itself. And we kept praying and asking the Lord for a miracle. We really needed help so we could concentrate on our radio work. And this is not unusual, is it, Lou? These attacks come often the day before we tape the program or the day of the taping. And finally, we prayed, and I made the statement to God that you often help us when it's darkest, in the latest hour. And so finally, we had placed a few phone calls, and then we ate our lunch, and we went back, and everything was resolved. We didn't expect it. Then we had to make more phone calls and cancel anyone who was going to come to help us. But you see, God did take mercy on us. So my point is, you must not stop praying for God to foil the vaccine passports and the evil things like the spirit cooking. What are some more headlines, Lou?
DeSantis. Local governments to face $51,000 fines for imposing COVID-19 vaccine mandates. That would be your Chris in Florida. And the biggest news came out September 14th. It looks as though the CIA-connected reporter, Bob Woodward, of the CIA rag, the Washington Post, is telegraphing that Biden's fiasco in Afghanistan may have been too much, even for the CIA and the swamp. Not only that, but Joint Chiefs of Staff General Mark Milley, and Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin may be on the way out, too. Milley is outed for telling the Chinese he would warn them of any U.S. attack on China.
And that means in advance, doesn't it?
Yes.
And I think they have telephone calls. They have the documentation for it.
Apparently they do, yes.
So perhaps this little article now on Trump is really about a man in waiting again, as we hear that the Maricopa County illegal votes totaled more than 100,000. This is from the Western Journal. This is September 12th. While Clinton's, Biden's, and Obama's attended ceremony at 9/11 Memorial yesterday, Trump quietly dipped into a nearby New York FD Bay by C. Douglas Golden. While three of the last four presidents were at the 20th anniversary ceremony at the 9/11 Memorial in New York City on Saturday, former President Donald Trump decided to spend the day with New York's heroes instead. According to WNBC-TV, Trump visited a police precinct and a fire station close to Trump Tower in Midtown Manhattan. And Lou, you might get your backup machine there and have that ready for Todd. The former president praised the men and women of the 17th Precinct and a nearby Manhattan fire station as incredible people, The Hill reported. "What an incredible job you do," he said at the precinct. "I grew up with you, and you are New York's finest." Trump also thanked New York City's Police Benevolent Association, its largest police union, for its endorsement of him in the 2020 presidential election. "First time they've ever endorsed a candidate for president," Trump said, "and it's a great honor." Having that endorsement meant more to me than anything, so I really appreciate it. During his visit, he made sure to note his support for first responders. "We love the blue," he said. "I'll say it loud. You know, you're not supposed to say it, but we love the blue." Trump took pictures with the officers and firemen on duty. Video shows firefighters breaking out in applause as Trump made his entrance. Trump also criticized President Joe Biden's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, transitioning into the situation in New York City under Mayor Bill de Blasio. "If you had the proper leadership, you could straighten out this city in 1 week," he said. And I have to interject here, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly, that in another article, we got a little bit of blowback from some of the lower-level military in the fiasco in Afghanistan. And these guys, I think they're true American GIs. They were hinting, or not so much of a hint, but they were kind of telling us that they had sabotaged a lot of this equipment, that it would never be used again. So let's hope that that is the case. Trump's 9/11 commemoration, back to the article, was markedly different from that of other presidents, both past and present. According to WCBS-TV, President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden attended the ceremony at the 9/11 Memorial in Lower Manhattan. The Clintons and Obamas were there, too. Former President George W. Bush, meanwhile, was in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, at a ceremony for those who died aboard United Flight 93, where Biden also visited. We heard, Lou, that he only laid a wreath. They didn't really permit him to speak, did they?
No. After Biden's disastrous, our patience is growing thin, vaccine bullying speech to the nation, maybe the handlers kept him quiet. One more Biden recipe for disaster. And now we have a headline: with food shortages worsening, Biden urges farmers to stop farming to slow climate change. This appeared in the Western Journal, July 1st, 2021, by Samantha Chang. The latest taxpayer-funded boondoggle involves a program that encourages farmers to grow carbon capturing. Now that's in quotation marks. Carbon capturing crops that remove carbon dioxide from the air and divert it into the soil, Politico reported Tuesday.
And that is really absurd, isn't it? And now,
yes.
Moving back to another headline from WorldNet Daily, September 3rd, U.S. evacuated Afghans with child brides they raped. So apparently here they're saying that older Afghan men with young girls they claimed as brides were among the people evacuated from Afghanistan. So this gets seedier and worse all the time, this business out of Afghanistan. So these Afghan girls at a transit site in Abu Dhabi alleged that in order to escape Afghanistan, they were forced to marry older men who had raped them, according to a diplomatic cable. Officials familiar with the cable say several girls in Abu Dhabi said they had been sexually assaulted by their, quote, husbands, but we can't rescue the Americans who are there. No, we can't do that. And now there are a few more headlines. LifeSite News says Cornell University sees significant rise in COVID-19 cases despite 95% jab rate. New York health workers, they're trying to seek federal court for relief from compulsory COVID vaccine. And here is another rabid truth shock that we're giving you tonight. Ontario government polls citizens on support for removing COVID-19 nonconformists from their homes. We heard there's going to be door-to-door stuff coming here in Maryland, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
I guess, to try to drum up a little more business for the jabs.
Yes, hopefully it's not going to be dragging you out of your home.
Not yet. Biden was not successful in his pulpit bullying. He was not successful. He became the laughingstock, is what he became of most Americans. California now was getting out the vote to try to recall the governor, but we don't think that worked out, did it?
No, it's a highly Democratic state, and he is still going to be the governor, unfortunately.
And, of course, we had all the voter fraud, of course.
Everything. Oh, yes.
Okay. The Oklahoma governor holds signing ceremony for 9 pro-life laws, including a heartbeat bill. Isn't that great?
Mm.
And now, unprecedented, Biden purges Trump appointees from federal advisory boards. And then we have the UK government, and it's going back and forth on these vaccine passports. It said it's going to postpone them for now, but it will keep them, quote, in reserve. And then there's a huge global media campaign that's promoting lies against safe and effective ivermectin for the COVID pandemic. Medical boards threaten doctors who spread, quote, COVID vaccine misinformation. And DeSantis from Florida slams Biden's vaccine orders. Then from Natural News, we had this crazy CNN doctor and baby killer, Leanna Wen. She says that only the vaccinated have the right to travel if the federal government allows them. We really are getting an underclass, as our webmistress said, that we're going to be the underclass if we're not vaxxed. And she said the unvaxxed have no such right to do this travel. Then a hot mic caught the Israeli health minister admitting that vaccine passports are really about coercion. And then Dr. Stella Emanuel on Brighty on TV says this, that people who believe in God have to stand up and fight or be able to take a stand on this. If we don't take a stand, we're going to perish. So we have these globalist ideas, you see, even to turn us into AI, artificial intelligence. And I think now we must move on, and we're moving back to some of these truth shocks from our 20-year 9/11 chronicles, from my book, and the book was entitled Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked. This was a quote, and Lou got all this research on one day only in 2002. I think it was early June, wasn't it?
Yes, it was early June.
Okay. The center will not hold unless virtue is among us. That's from Paul Woodruff, Reverence. Renewing a Forgotten Virtue, page 57. Warburg professor at Simmons College, Boston, and 1981 chargé d'affaires in Afghanistan, Charles Dunbar debunked the rumor that bin Laden is a CIA agent, adding, quote, the American people can be made a part of this world effort and get on board. That was from NPR, October 2nd, 2001. Just who were these Arab aces whose pictures were plastered across American newspapers within days of the attacks? Al Omari turns out to be an outraged pilot with Saudi Airlines who wants to know why he was reported as a dead hijacker in the American media. We are going to have some more here. Hijacker Al-Ghamdi.
I think that's right.
Al-Ghamdi is still flying for Tunis Air. A third reported hijacker has been dead for 2 years. That was from Will Thomas, All Fall Down, page 25. Why did the seat numbers of the hijackers given by a cell phone call from flight attendant Madeline Amy Sweeney to Boston Air Traffic Control not match the seats occupied by the men the FBI claimed were responsible? Jim Mars, An Overview of the War on Terrorism, page 6. According to the BBC, September 21st, the seat numbers were not the seats of the men who the Federal Bureau of Investigation, FBI, says were responsible for the hijacking. Sweeney identified only four hijackers, whereas FBI officials have released the names of five men. Christopher J. Petherick, American Free Press, quoted by Stan Johnson, Prophecy Club newsletter, January-February of 2002, page 5. Why was there a discrepancy of 35 names between the published passenger list and the official death toll on all four of the ill-fated flights? Internet columnist Gary North reported this. The published names in no instance match the total listed for the number of people on board. Why the discrepancy? Again, Jim Mars, An Overview of the War on Terrorism, page 6. How did the terrorists obtain top-secret White House and Air Force codes and signals, the excuse for hustling President Bush all across the country on September 11th? Was this evidence of an inside job? Jim Mars, An Overview of the War on Terrorism. We need a theory of the coordinated hijackings that rests on a plausible cause and effect sequence that does not assume the complete failure of both check-in procedures and the onboard seating procedures on four separate flights on two separate airlines. I don't see how anyone can have a plausible explanation of how hijackers got onto the planes and were not removed. Gary North, The Perplexing Puzzle of the Published Passenger List, page 5. And now I want you listeners to pay particular attention. This is the heart of Lou Caverly's bombshell research. While these things were still existing in the Pittsburgh papers and elsewhere, we want to really focus now on what happened at Shanksville.
In a morning briefing, Lyle Zubenka, Pennsylvania State Police Major, revealed that debris from Flight 93 had turned up in relatively far-flung locations. That's from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, September 13, 2001. Zubenka said one of the Flight 93's large engines was found at some considerable distance from the crash site. Quote, it appears to be the whole engine, said Zubenka. That's from Tribliv.com. Mayor of Shanksville, quote, I know two people that heard that missile, Stuhl said. They both live very close. This one fellow served in Vietnam, and he says he heard them, and he heard one that day, unquote. The mayor added that based on what he knows about that morning, military F-16 jet fighters were, quote, very, very close, unquote. From the Daily News, Philly.com.
And, of course, I'm interjecting here that we heard that a rumor that there was a group called the Happy Hooligans and that they were the ones who shot Flight 93 down to prevent it going on to the White House. So there are all kinds of stories, but we do know that we have a very close person to our family who talked to a man who said, I saw the plane. So we have all these eyewitnesses. Go ahead, Lou.
In separate interviews Thursday, five residents who live and work less than 4 miles from the crash site, that is Flight 93, said they saw a second plane flying erratically within minutes of the crash of the Boeing 757 that took off from Newark 2 hours earlier Tuesday morning. Earlier Thursday, FBI Special Agent William Crowley said investigators could not rule out that a second plane was nearby during the crash. He later said he had misspoken. That was from Jeff Pilitz, The Record, Bergen County, New Jersey, September 14, 2001. The government's decision to let the families of the victims hear some or all of the tape, 30-minute cockpit voice recorder, is preferable to continued administration stonewalling on the subject. Still, one has to wonder why it took more than 6 months for this decision to be made and whether the tape has been edited. And if so, why? And what about the other two pieces of documentation of the last minutes of Flight 93? The air traffic control tape and analysis of the other black box material. And that's from an editorial entitled Go to the Tape, a partial account of the fall of Flight 93. That appeared in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, March 28, 2002. Without a doubt, Flight 93 was shot down. The first TV network report said exactly that. Flight 93 had been shot down by a military jet. That information even made it into the print media. That's from Carol A. Valentine, ZillaTimes.com. Local residents said that they had seen a second plane in the area, possibly an F-16 fighter, and burning debris falling from the sky. Crowley, and I believe that was the FBI gentleman. Let me look back quickly.
No, it was.
Yes. Crowley said investigators had determined that two other planes were nearby, but didn't know if either was military. That's from an article entitled Stories Swirl Around Pennsylvania Crash, Black Box Found. That appeared in USA Today, September 14, 2001. Pieces of the wreckage have been found as far away as New Baltimore, about 8 miles from the crash site. When the eastbound plane crashed, a 9-knot wind was blowing from the southeast, Crowley said. That's from Bereaved May Visit Flight 93 site, Pittsburgh Tribune Review, Friday, September 14, 2001. On September 11th, residents and workers at businesses outside Shanksville, Somerset County, reported discovering clothing, books, papers, and what appear to be human remains. Some residents said they collected bags full of items to be turned over to investigators. Others reported what appeared to be crash debris floating in Indian Lake, nearly 6 miles from the crash site. And that's from an article in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette entitled, Investigators Locate Black Box from Flight 93, Widen Search Area in Somerset Crash, September 13th, 2001.
And that was the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We're not sure that it's still extant today. And, last time maybe two times ago, we talked about the Flight 93 Bible, the amazing Bible that was found almost in pristine condition with its pages open to, it was 1 Kings, was it not?
Yes, I believe it was.
1 Kings, and it was... The 12 to 14, chapters 12 to 14, the splitting of the kingdom, and we feel that it probably indicates God's judgment on America. He's ready to break up America unless there's great repentance. And we had a listener write that this was not true and that the FBI made this up. We think that we don't have any proof for that listener's idea, but we do have proof that the FBI tried to squelch this story. They weren't promoting it. They didn't like it. They didn't want this to get out to give hope to people. Plus, we had local people named in Tom Lavis's Johnstown Tribune Democrat article. I believe that it was October 22nd, 2001, and he talked about the people. One was Sam Lavis, who at that time was a 25-year-old computer programmer at Somerset High School. and the other was Father Mauricio. And these were two eyewitnesses who actually saw this Bible. So we believe this is a bona fide story, and it is something that gives us hope that God is in control. Now we have to also ask ourselves, Lou, as a person of science and math, how could an airplane that was just kind of brought down and the passengers wrestled with the Arabs and all of this going on, if it was just crashing there, how would all of these body parts and pieces of belongings get 6 miles from the crash site to Indian Lake? Can you tell me that?
The simple answer is they wouldn't. There's no way that, you know, things could bounce that far. Even if there was an explosion, they wouldn't travel that far. It obviously had to be an explosion in the air.
Oh, you mean Aladdin's lamp didn't just vaporize everything and then it rematerialized again into reality?
No.
Oh, that's a child fairy tale, isn't it?
Yes.
And
that's
now,
right.
So you see these poor people who are bamboozled every year, and last year it was Mike Pence, but somehow, I guess with that coin in his hand, that Freemasonic type coin, I guess he didn't get an invite. No, but we had Biden, silent Biden, laying the wreath, and we had good old George W. there, good old George W., who read the story. I think about the goat, and he hated to be interrupted when he was told that the towers were hit. And he's the same president. We recall that during the Hurricane Katrina time, he was asked about gun confiscation, and he said, it's not the right time. Well, it isn't the right time now either. We will tell the globalists, because we don't want to be like Australia, and the men in America don't intend to be. But now we move on to another very fascinating scenario, and Lou is going to tell you, again, this is from his research, and Lou, when you give these sources, you don't need to say found in. Let's just take it very quickly. Just read exactly what's there. The Global Hawk scenario.
A robot plane had made aviation history by becoming the first unmanned aircraft to fly across the Pacific Ocean. Robot plane flies Pacific unmanned, international telephone, make that television news, IT Entertainment, April 24th, 2001. Two of the men, Al-Hazmi and Al-Midhar, also briefly attended a local flight school, but they were dropped because of their limited English and incompetence at the controls. Quote, they seemed like nice guys, the instructor said, but on the plane they were dumb and dumber. Washington Post, September 24th, 2001, page A7. But the masterminds would not need competent pilots if they had Global Hawk technology. Did you notice that during the event, that is September 11th, and for weeks after, we heard no excerpts from the conversations between the air traffic control centers and the four aircraft? I believe the answer is simple. If we could hear the conversations that took place, we would hear the airline pilots telling air traffic control that the controls of their airplanes would not respond. The pilots, of course, would have no way of knowing that their craft had been fitted with Global Hawk technology programmed to take over their planes. Carol A. Valentine, Operation 9/11. Of course, the controls would not respond to manual directions if they were under the control of Global Hawk. They could not afford to have Flight 93 make a conventional landing and allow the pilots and passengers to talk about their experience. They could not afford to have the quote-unquote hijackers survive and the electronic controls of the plane examined. So Flight 93 was shot down. Carol A. Valentine, ZolaTimes.com.
And again, we tell you listeners to visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and there soon you will see the picture of a Global Hawk. You will see one of the fleet, and you will read the updated article that most of what we're telling here tonight. And so these pretty much include three chapters from my book, Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked. And now we move to the next section, Advanced Warnings and Insider Knowledge. Dr. Tatiana Corrigina, a senior senior research fellow at the Institute of Microeconomic Researches, which is a part of the Russian Ministry of Economic Development, gained credibility due to her July prediction that an unusual catastrophe would strike America in late August, ruining the economy. In a Pravda interview, she stated, the U.S. has been chosen as the object of financial attack because the financial center of the planet is located there. The effect will be maximal. The strike waves of economic crisis will spread over the planet. That was from Jim Mars, An Overview of the War on Terrorism, page 10. And Lou, we might comment that parts of that elite plan seem to be more apropos here now than ever, because we know that the Fed is going to be printing a lot more money. I think Janet Yellen said we have to do this, and they're going to try to postpone the catastrophic collapse of the whole money system. But we know that eventually they want to do this, and the supply lines are being probably deliberately cut off for food. Some of it is because workers won't go to work. But we have to look at some of these things that were big trends that people predicted 20 years ago. Now some of them are coming closer to fulfillment. Again, this Dr. Kourajina, the next soundbite says, following the September 11th attacks, Dr. Kourajina was re-interviewed and asserted the powerful group behind the attacks will make new strikes. When Americans understand after the upcoming new strikes that their government can guarantee them nothing, they will panic, causing a collapse of their financial system. Asked who was really behind this odious plane, she replied, it is not the 19 terrorists identified by the FBI, but rather a larger group seeking to reshape the world. She said this group of extremely powerful private persons hold total assets of about $300 trillion and intend to legitimize their power under a new global government. Jim Mars, An Overview of the War on Terrorism, page 10. And again, we can see that the same elite that was doing these things then now is again possibly in the thinking of Mike Adams, the health ranger at naturalnews.com, maybe about to do a giant false flag in which they would probably blame unvaccinated people as terrorists, something on the order of this. So people are more awake now, though. They're not as fooled as they were with these false flags. Remember, Lou, that so-called kidnapping of Governor Whitmer?
Oh, yes.
And you remember it turned out the FBI was pretty much involved with that.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Now back to some of these other 9/11 soundbites. On June 8th, German intelligence, BND, told the CIA and Israel that Middle Eastern terrorists were planning to hijack commercial aircraft to use as weapons to attack important symbols of American and Israeli culture. Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, September 14, 2001. In August, world-respected microbiologist Garth and his wife Nancy Nicholson, co-discoverers of the transmissible component of Gulf War illness, warned Washington of a September 11, 2002 terrorist strike against the Pentagon. I believe that should be September 11, 2001.
I think we have
an error there.
Yeah, I think it's a typo.
Their sources included key intelligence officials, the mafia, and a high-level African diplomat. Garth Nicholson says their information was passed to the Director of Policy of the Department of Defense. The Inspector General of the U.S. Army Medical Corps and the National Security Council. Quote, unfortunately, it was ignored. Will Thomas, All Fall Down, page 15. In the summer of 2001, an Iranian man telephoned U.S. law enforcement warning of imminent attack on the World Trade Center in the week of September 9th. German police confirmed the calls were made, but stated the U.S. Secret Service would not reveal further information. German news agency online, i.e., September 14, 2001. Excerpt from a David Shippers interview on the Alex Jones Show. Alex Jones, you got it from FBI agents in Chicago and Minnesota that there was going to be an attack on Lower Manhattan. David Shipper, yeah, and that's what started me calling. I started calling out there. First of all, I tried to see if I could get a congressman to go to bat for me and at least bring these people out there and listen to them. I sent them information, and nobody cared. It was always, we'll get back to you, we'll get back to you. Then I reached out and tried to get to the attorney general. When finally I got an attorney general in there that I would be willing to talk to, and again, I used people who were personal friends of John Ashcroft to try to get him. One of them called me back and said, all right, I have talked to him. He will call you tomorrow morning. This was like a month before the bombing. The next morning I got a call. It wasn't from Ashcroft. It was from somebody in the Justice Department. Alex Jones, one of his handlers. Yes, and I started telling him the situation. And he said, you know, we don't start our investigations at the top. I said, I would like to talk to the Attorney General because this is vital. He said, we don't start our investigations at the top. Let me look into this, and I will get back to you. As I sit here today, I've never heard from him. Lou, we might interject. That Durham investigation, we've never heard from it yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
No,
it's been dragging out.
No, we have these
Goodness
things.
Knows how long.
Yeah, right. These things are kept under wraps forever. Alex Jones, again, David Chippers, you are big in Washington. You were the top lawyer that got Clinton impeached. You are highly respected. You know the senators, the congressmen. You're calling up Yon, got these FBI agents and others feeding you the information. They're being pulled off the cases. And I have to pause here for a minute. Okay. And source is David Shipper's interview, Alex Jones Radio Show, October 10th, 2001. The FBI and other federal law enforcement agencies knew two terrorists had entered the United States but failed to take action. They also failed to inform airlines to watch their boarding list for the two terrorists, Al Midhar and Nawak Al-Hanazi, who were on Flight 77 that hit the Pentagon. Stan Johnson, the Prophecy Club newsletter, January, February 2002, page 2. The Israeli Mossad reported to the CIA that a cell of 200 terrorists were planning a major operation on highly visible targets. They indicated the terrorists had strong links to Iraq, according to the Sunday Telegraph. Still no action. Stan Johnson, the Prophecy Club newsletter, January, February 2002, page 2. There were, in fact, only three Israelis who had been confirmed as dead, two on the planes and another who had been visiting the tower on business and who was identified and buried. The New York Times, September 22, 2001. Officials with the instant messaging firm of Odigo in New York confirmed that the two employees in Israel received text messages warning of an attack on the World Trade Center 2 hours before the planes crashed into the buildings. The Washington Post, September 28, 2001, quoted by Jim Mars in an overview of the war on terrorism, page 10. Short selling of stocks involves the opportunity to gain large profits by passing shares to a friendly third party, then buying them back when the price falls. Historically, if this precedes a traumatic event, it is an indication of foreknowledge. The U.S. government also admitted it was investigating short selling. There was unusually heavy trading in airline and insurance stocks several days before September 11th, which essentially bet on a drop in the worth of the stocks. Apparently none could be traced to bin Laden because this news item quietly dropped from sight, leaving many people wondering if it tracked back to American firms or intelligence agency. Jim Mars, an overview of the war on terrorism. In Tokyo, the day before September 11, 2001, the great Goldman Sachs investment firm circulated a memo advising employees of a possible terrorist attack. The memo recommended its employees avoid American government buildings. Goldman Sachs was the second biggest tenant in the World Trade Center, occupying 22 floors. The firm suffered only 17 casualties. One Goldman Sachs vice president decided to take the day off to go surfing. Will Thomas, All Fall Down, page 14. 2 + 2 = 8, police state. Turning and turning in the widening gyre. The falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. That is by poet William Butler Yeats, The Second Coming. And we've thought lately there has been criticism by some of the patriot community that some of our congressmen and senators, they will talk a good talk about Fauci and the role of the NIAID financing Wuhan on and all of this, but they won't really do anything. And that would be Senator Rand Paul. Senator Ron Johnson, one of these commentators, said was a little better. He listened. But we hear this. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. The worst are those getting the spirit cooking going. The ceremony of innocence is drowned, that's for sure. Now we come to the issues, especially of the loss of our constitutional rights, Lou.
Anti-terrorism laws versus freedom of speech and other constitutional rights. There is no doubt that if we lived in a police state, it would be easier to catch terrorists. If we lived in a country where the police were allowed to search your home at any time, for any reason, if we lived in a country where the government was entitled to open your mail, eavesdrop in your phone conversations, or intercept your email communications, if we lived in a country where people could be held in jail indefinitely based on what they write or think, or based on mere suspicion that they were up to no good, the government would probably discover and arrest more terrorists, or would-be terrorists, just as it would find more lawbreakers in general. But that would not be a country for which we could, in good conscience, ask our young people to fight and die. In short, that country would not be America. That was by Senator Feingold's address during the debate on the anti-terrorism bill, October 11, 2001. Senator Feingold received anthrax in the mail, and Americans received an anti-terrorism law after a hurried vote was taken while lawmakers were barred from their offices.
Now, we see there's the intimidation.
Yes.
But you see, Biden was not successful with his intimidation of the American people. No, they laughed. It wasn't convincing. Go ahead.
So those lawmakers were barred from their offices because of suspected anthrax contamination. That was Will Thomas, All Fall Down, page 182. After the vote enacting America's anti-terrorism law was taken, while lawmakers were locked out of their offices because of the anthrax scare, the American Civil Liberties Union condemned the vote as, quote, deeply flawed and an offense to the thoughtful legislative process necessary to protect the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, unquote. A sunset provision cancels these special policing powers in 4 years, unless Congress approves an extension. The problem, says constitutional law expert Michael Principe, is, quote, once you give away a right, it's hard to get it back, unquote. Will Thomas, All Fall Down, page 102. Many of the steps we have now been forced to take will become permanent in American life. They represent an understanding of the world as it is and dangers we must guard against, perhaps for decades to come. Dick Cheney, U.S. Vice President, quoted in Notebook, Time magazine.
And we have to interject here that it was said that Cheney from the bunker was really the president. So I'm sure that this was not said with a kind of a disapproval that our lives were changing and this would be the way they will be. We have this cadre of elite who have wanted totalitarianism for quite some time. Go ahead, Lou.
Is there precedent in history for what is happening in America today? So much so that there is not enough space to present it all. Nero burned Rome, blamed it on his enemies, and took dictatorial power. But consider what happened just last century. On February 27, 1933, the German Reichstag, or Parliament, was destroyed by fire. Hitler and his Nazis blamed the destruction on communist terrorists. They even caught one, a retired Dutch youth named Marinus van der Lubbe, who carried a Communist Party card. After some time in the custody The youth confessed to being the arsonist. However, later investigations found that one person could not have started the mammoth blaze and that incendiaries had been carried into the blazing that is into the building through a tunnel, which led to the offices of Hitler's closest partner, Hermann Göring.
And we have to interject here that another source said that at a party years later, Göring confessed this.
Yes, it was said to have slapped his thigh. When they talked about the Reichstag fire, he said something to the effect, "I'm the one that should be talking about that, because I set it on fire."
Yes, go ahead.
And that was, by the way, from Jim Myers, an overview on the war on terrorism, page 16. Less than a month later, on March 24th, 1933, at Hitler's urging, a panicky German parliament voted 441-94 to pass an enabling act, which was the starting point for Hitler's dictatorship. As a result of this act, Germans soon saw gun confiscation, national identity cards, racial profiling, a national security chief, Heinrich Himmler, and later mass murders and incarcerations in concentration camps.
Now, Lou, you and I were out traveling around on a Saturday evening in 2001, and this talk came up between us. And I said, you don't think something suddenly could happen here in the United States like it did under Hitler? And you recounted the things that you just read there, how quickly the society was taken over by totalitarianism. And you referred to William L. Shirer's book, The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. And so we got home that Saturday evening, and of course you had reassured me that you didn't think things could happen quite that quickly here in America. And we walked in the living room, and I walked over to turn on the light, and a book fell on my foot, and it was The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. And Tuesday evening you came home, and we had to talk about what had happened on that day, September 11th, 2001. You see, God sometimes is showing us things, and we must pay attention. We must pay attention to that Flight 93 Bible with its pages pristine as snow. We must pay attention to the warnings that we are under judgment because the pastors in this country have not said a word about that Mr. Samuels, who had his eye punched out down there in the D.C. jail by those Gitmo guards. These people who are still languishing down there, most of them innocent from January 6th. This cannot go on. This cannot go on. We cannot have this. And we know that many of you listeners do care. You really want to keep the freedoms. You pray for our program. And again, we thank Wyoming and Philadelphia. We thank some other friends who have helped us. And if you would like to help us stay on the air, we do need the help. You can send a check made out either to Global Star Communications or to WWCR. And you can send a money order. You can send some cash. Postage stamps are helpful. You can mail it to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Again, that's to Lou Caverly, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. It's so important that we bring back the old America that is shown on that picture, and I hope you've told some others to go to our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and see the two little children on the tractor that my father called the Cub. And we had no idea there in that little world with the Allegheny Mountains going up behind us in my backyard, we had no idea that 55 years and a few seconds later, my brother would be phoning my mother and saying our nation is in dire peril. And it was in dire peril. It still is. And unless we repent as Christians and that we have pastors who begin to stand up in churches against the aborted fetal cell line COVID vaccines, instead of administering them and in their own sanctuaries, we cannot have this double-minded rebellion against God and God's scriptural dictums to us. We either live under Jesus Christ, we give our lives to him and we say, direct us, or we live for ourselves, or we live for money, or we live for power. But all life is going to end. All human life will end. Nobody has an eternal lifespan. No, we saw that a few years ago, David Rockefeller did pass away, and he was proud. He said he bragged that he said these writers that said he and his family who were bringing on the one world government, he bragged. He says, I proudly accept that charge. He really wanted that charge accepted because that was his goal. But you see, that was only one life. And if we don't live more for just the time we're here on earth, if we don't live for something higher than that, then what good is our life? You know, the life must be examined by each person. And it's so important that we do that and that we pray to God and ask him to guide us. We do not want a Nazi Germany here in America. And I, for one, was glad when our local paper leaked out the article about the CDC's green camps. That was wonderful that that got into the mainstream news. And we know there are some white hat members of the CIA. It's not all the CDC Jesuit Research Marquette University derived ideals to crush America and turn us into Marxism and chaos and anarchy. No, there are very sincere Roman Catholic people and Protestant people who still who stand for the truth. They may not be those dead lying there like sleeping dogs, the Bible says, pastors in the churches. No, we have a real church, a church that is tuning in to this program, Lou, and we really invite all of you to prayerfully send people to DividedKingdomRadio.com, and we thank you for listening and for praying for us, for praying for your neighbors, praying for America to repent. Good night.